Hello, and welcome to Pinecone Podcast, where we have conversations about issues that are important to you, like faith and family, religion and relationships, Christianity and the church, and a whole lot more. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy Art, Wes, and Lacey as they have a conversation on Evergreen's Pinecone Podcast. Okay, welcome to our show. Today, we're going to talk about glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. The chief end of man. We might talk about where that came from, what it means, how we do it. So today, we, as usual, at least over the last few podcasts, here with me, I have Wes and Lacey. Wes, Lacey, how are you all doing?
Really well.
Great.
Good, good. You're enjoying yourself?
I'm enjoying God.
There you go. Good, good answer. So let's start off like the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Wes, what's the first question?
What is the chief end of man?
Lacey, what's the answer?
To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Something along that line.
That's right.
No, I think that's right. That's it. So we're going to talk about that and maybe a few other things today. Wes, can you give us a 1 minute or less lesson on what exactly the Shorter Catechism is, just in case anybody might not know?
Sure. So the Westminster Assembly gathered in England in the 17th century to replace to make a statement of faith for the churches of England. And they came up with the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms. And in both the Shorter Catechism and a larger catechism, which has a lot more detail, it begins with what is the chief end of man? Why are we here? And it says that we are here to glorify and enjoy God. That's the heart of it. So I think, and it's very striking that that's how it begins. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could do it. Another well-known catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, begins with what is your only comfort in life and in death? And it has a beautiful answer, but takes a little bit different perspective than what we have in the Shorter Catechism and the larger catechisms. And these are the official doctrinal statements, too, of the church of which I pastor, which is Evergreen Presbyterian Church. So it's the historic confession of the Presbyterian churches.
Right. So do you want to jump right into what that means, or do we want to do more background thoughts?
Oh, I'm
because I just to... think, I mean, my first thought when we talk about that, how do I glorify God? How does a human bring glory to God?
Well, if you look, so one of the things, I have a document, maybe I can link to this, where it has all the confessions and catechisms. It's like one HTML page, so you can search it all. And so I've been doing that in order to get some sense that of what they were saying when they said glorify or enjoy God and other items. That's what we've been discussing in our Sunday school class, and so that's been pretty nice. And actually, there's you have this statement in Westminster Larger Catechism 104. So this will give you an idea of how fulsome how much larger the larger is, because it says, what are the duties required in the first commandment? The first commandment, of course, being the first of the Ten Commandments. And the duties in the first commandment are knowing and acknowledging of God to be the only true God and our God. And then it says, and to worship and glorify Him accordingly. So here's a very fulsome statement of what it means to glorify. It says, by thinking, meditating, remembering, highly esteeming, honoring, adoring, choosing, loving, desiring, fearing of Him, believing Him, trusting, hoping, delighting, rejoicing in Him, being zealous for Him, calling upon Him, giving all praise and thanks, and yielding all obedience and submission to him with the whole man, being careful in all things to please him, and sorrowful when in anything he is offended, and walking humbly with him. So that's the very full explanation of what it means to glorify him. We could probably do like 50 podcasts on that one question. So, yeah.
Lacey, what are you thinking?
When I was doing some of the research for this podcast, I came across a video by John Piper, and one of the things that he said in it is, how can I do X, whatever it is that's in front of you? How can I raise my kids to the glory of God? How can I pastor a church to the glory of God? How can I run a small business to the glory of God? How can I drink this orange juice to the glory of God? And I thought that that was a really interesting way to approach it, because, I mean, really, if that's our chief end, then that's something that we should be doing in each and everything that we do. And so just asking yourself in the small moments of life, how can I glorify God, will then kind of add up to doing that every day.
So what was his answer?
Well, this is his quote. He says, God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. And so as you're asking yourself that, like, how am I satisfied with God by drinking this glass of orange juice? I don't know that he really gave an answer. Just, he also said, in each of those things, relying on God so that you show the world his trustworthiness. So for me as a stay-at-home mom, thinking through, like, how do I raise my kids to the glory of God? Well, I do my best to point them to him, but ultimately bringing glory is to show others that I trust him with my children. I trust him in each situation that occurs. And that's going to look different based on the situations. But, even as someone who struggles with worry, really having a, he said, fight for maximum satisfaction in God. And that's something that I definitely have to do when I think about glorifying God in raising my kids, is fight for maximum satisfaction in God. Fight for that trustworthiness and believing that God is trustworthy, as he loves my kids more than I do. And hopefully that would make the people around me ask, like, how do you do that? Like, and then I can point back to who God is. What's your answer? How do you pastor a church to the glory of God?
Well, what about Art? I'm sure he has a lot of ideas on this.
Oh, I don't pastor a church. No, I
have ideas about it.
No, but as you were talking, Lacey, I was kind of looking at some things I scribbled on some notes. And one thing that I had written was in 1 Corinthians 10, I think it's 31. I can't read my own handwriting. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do to the glory of God. And I'm not saying this is an answer. I'm kind of posing this as a question to you two, but as well. But, like, wouldn't you eat or drink just simply because you have to survive? And is it that simple? Is glorifying God that just eating? Like, you know what I'm saying, Wes? Particularly, I'm throwing that at you.
So, yeah, I think it's more than that. Yeah, I mean, it's not just the mere eating to survive. Is that what you're asking?
Right.
Definitely not. I think that, so one of the things that, when I think about that question, Westminster Larger Catechism, question answer 104. So I kind of sum it up. I think it begins with actually thinking about God. So we're different from all other animals. We can learn about God through the creation and through scripture, So I think a big part of glorifying God is actually bringing him to our minds as we engage in those various activities. I mean, obviously we could bring him to our minds in wrong ways, and we can do it in right ways. But I think it begins by saying we are going to deliberately think upon him. So when you think about, you know, you think about like human relationships in a way that's similar, you know, you could, on a day-to-day basis, you have plenty of things you just kind of interact with people without much thought. But a relationship really grows as we think and have curiosity and interest in people, and we talk to them and we discuss with them about who they are, about what they think, and we reveal ourselves to one another. So that's where I think it begins, with actually thinking. So that's one of the big problems of our society, is we're do, we're go. We have so many distractions. I mean, there's all kinds of things. I mean, even if you have a spare moment, you can just throw in a podcast and be distracted. You don't have to think. So, but in this case, I hope that this is one you actually listen to. Speaking to the listener now, then that one listener, right? Hi, Mom. Right. but the point is that we need to have thoughtful reflection. That's how we grow in glorifying God. So I don't just eat as a sort of animal act. I eat it in the context of seeing that this is the way God has made me, that he's created to do this, that he's given me good things to enjoy. He's actually commanded that we eat things of the earth and enjoy them, that he's made it pleasurable to eat, and he didn't have to do that so that we would experience his goodness, and that we look forward to, if we see this many good things here below, how much more in heavenly glory. So those are examples. I mean, we can think a lot of other things, but it begins in my mind with thinking, actual thought on God.
I also think it's kind of neat to consider, like, Paul chose eating and drinking in that verse, maybe to show that we can glorify God even in simple everyday things, in simple mundane things, glory can be brought to God. So, like, how much more can you do that in, I don't know, bigger aspects of your life?
Sure. Though I think even you're feeling, just looking at your face as you say it, that you might want to say, maybe that's not necessarily the way to think of it, that you might, it seems like we could say, in other words, eating could be a big deal. So because it's basic nourishment of our life, and it's a time of fellowship and renewal and so on. But I do take your point.
We can keep talking about this, but this question has kind of been nagging me. Do you think that, well, I think that we don't have to necessarily be believers in order to bring glory to God.
Wrong. I'm just kidding. No. What? No, yeah, that's right. So I think, I think you want to make a qualified statement there, obviously. I think, so first of all, there's glorifying God in a general sense, like, so even the animals glorify God in that they reflect his creative glory. So in that sense, all creatures do so. And then I would say, you know, human beings do so to a higher degree insofar as their rationality and ethical and will are engaged to follow the Lord. But obviously, if it's not done with the specific purpose of glorifying God, if a person is not reconciled to God in Christ, then we're going to say that's done in a lesser extent. Though, so like we speak of common grace. Anyway,
yeah, so ahead. I'm kind of thinking about, you know, Pharaoh. Uh-huh. God definitely used him to bring glory to himself.
Yes.
And is it Romans 9 that talks about being clay in the hands of the potter? Or that he uses some glory for his glory and some. So that's kind of the general direction I'm thinking, like.
Oh, okay.
But it's not, I guess it's not intentional. You're not intentionally bringing God glory if you're not right. A believer.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. Like the intention, we definitely want to say, you know, truly good works that are pleasing to God done in Christ. But do we want to say that nothing the unbeliever does is pleasing to God in any sense whatsoever? I think that'd be an overstatement.
Well, and God can use, you know, there's a difference between him using things to bring glory to himself and someone intentionally, like in the case of Pharaoh, intentionally like doing that to glorify God. He certainly wasn't trying to glorify God.
Right.
Which I think spills over into the enjoy. What does it mean to enjoy God? A non-believer could be doing something and enjoying doing it, but not necessarily enjoying God. Whereas a believer could be doing the same thing, the enjoyment of God, just, you know, eating and drinking, just to go back to that.
Yeah, and I think that when our catechism talks about glorifying God, they clearly are not using in the sense, in one sense, everything glorifies God one way or another.
Right.
Because it's all his creation, and he glorifies himself both in his demonstration of mercy and justice. And so all things eventually redound, good word, to God's glory. But what we're talking about here when we talk about the chief end of man is not in that natural sense where just in the virtue of being and being in God's universe, we will bring glory to God, but in the sense of engaging our hearts and minds and wills to glorify God. That's our purpose, is to have our whole being engaged in the glorification of God intentionally.
Right. Hmm. Same way with enjoying God.
Yes.
It's more about your mindset. It's more about how your approach to it, what your purpose is.
Well, and the thing about enjoying God is like, it's, you can't enjoy him in the immediate, in a sort of immediate way that you might enjoy like the taste of garlic or sugar, because it's not, because God is not immediately available to our senses. Thus, it requires sort of an extrapolation from the creature to the creator. So we have to think and engage our minds, and we have to understand first to a degree, and then that kind of works its way to our hearts through enjoyment. So just in a similar way that we can view painful experiences, even such as exercising, you know, it may be painful in the moment, and we may not, it doesn't bring us immediate pleasure sensations, though sometimes that happens too, following. But it's more the reflection on what is happening. So it's a whole different type of enjoyment than we normally talk about when we just talk about the types of pleasures that come to us simply through our senses.
Yeah, I was reading something that was talking about comparing us being an extension of God in the same way that the beams of the sun are an extension of the sun. Like you have the sunlight and then you have the beams, which obviously the beams of the sun can't exist without the sun. But then they create light and warmth and all those things. And then comparing us to be like the beams of the sun to God, that anything that we do has to come from God. So then that would give the glory back to God.
So do you think that the beams of the sun are particles or waves?
Do I think the beams of the sun are particles or waves?
Yeah. I just wonder,
You'd be light.
In order to make that example perfect, I would have to say particles, but it wasn't my example, so I'm not too certain about that.
So you don't have to answer that. Anyways, we won't go get into particle physics.
Maybe KG can tell us a little bit more about that at some point. Wouldn't he know more about that than us?
He probably does. We should have him on to talk about that.
We should.
We don't have a copyright on his name right now, so we can't even say it. But
just as a side note, the experiments that the modern physics would say, it's actually both, but which is a really weird answer that nobody really understands. But anyway. But that's just, I don't know why I even wanted to bring that up. It's a complete distraction.
It is.
It's not really a distraction, but because in a way we would be both as well. If the beams of the sun are particles and waves, then we would be a part of God and also just reflecting his glory.
You're going to have to flesh that one out a little bit more for me.
I'm trying to save the science.
Well, what we could say is, but so in the sense that here's how I might connect it to God. Is just to say, I do think when you study some of modern physics, which I have a very, very minimal understanding of it, but it's a very weird world. And so you get down to what God has made and how he's structured the universe. And you're like, wow, these things do blow your mind. That's kind of what you might expect when you discover a world made by an infinite creator. So.
Right. And that's trouble you fall into if you try to explain it away or try to understand it when you simply aren't going to be able to.
Okay.
But yeah, we have distracted a little bit. Lacey's going to bring us back.
I am. Do you think that it's important to weigh this question whenever you're making kind of bigger life decisions about, job stuff? Or like choosing a spouse, choosing a college, making a big choice about moving somewhere else. Or for instance, in our life, we're pursuing foster care. And so that's kind of a question I've asked, like, is this foster care is not going to be an easy thing, but is it good? Is it going to bring glory to God? But it's not something I think before I had considered, but as we've been talking about it, I just think it would be a helpful question to ask ourselves.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, if it's not going to bring glory to God, then it's something that you shouldn't do. Not necessarily, I mean, just with anything, even the simple things.
Yeah, but I think it also helps people do hard things, things they may have shied away from if they didn't consider, does this bring glory to God? Because, you know, sometimes you don't go in a direction because it just seems troublesome. But when you consider like, yeah, but if I go in that direction, I think of like foreign missionaries, you know, like this is going to be hard. I could lose my life. But does it bring glory to God? It does. That's, you have to weigh a lot more than that, but I do think it's a good place to start.
Yeah,
I think that's a good approach to it. Instead of, because when you first said that, I think I was thinking in the negative sense. Does this bring glory to God? If it doesn't, then I won't do it. But I like where you're going with that, Lacey. Does this bring glory to God? And I'll do it in spite of the troubles, in spite of what I see as the downside, because it will bring glory to God. So I think we do need to ask ourselves that more often.
Yeah, I think, and to my mind comes my great grandparents who went as missionaries to South Africa in the 1920s, but or early 1930s. So one of the things is, if they had stayed in Southern Indiana, they certainly could have glorified God there, right? I mean, you can glorify God wherever you are. But they chose to do something bigger, to start a mission in Swaziland. And in those days, like when you left to go to Africa, you left. I mean, you weren't going to fly back. If something happened, you weren't coming back easily. When my grandpa came to the United States for the first time, he took a boat and it was a long trip. It was actually, he and his brother got, you know, as boys, basically got on this ship that was a commercial ship, and just got on there and got a ride back to Boston, and then were met there by some people, common acquaintance from the church. Anyways, I mean, that just gives you an idea of the scope of what they were doing. But here's the thing. Not only did they glorify God by saying, God is more important than my comfort, my ease, the familiarity of family, and so on. They also glorified God by giving a legacy to their descendants, because it's something I can always look back to as kind of like the call to step into something bigger. It's a challenge to me. So I think like that's a really good illustration of, you know, that for me, that's really pertinent.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, like, I don't know if anybody has ever read like 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey.
Oh yeah, big time.
Well, yeah, one of his habits is begin with the end in mind. Well, if glorifying God and enjoying him forever is the chief end of man, we're beginning with the end in mind, then that is a question we need to ask ourselves when we're making any kind of decision, really. And I even think about, you know, different organizations or churches having a vision statement, and that really helps kind of make your direction pretty clear. You can easily weed out decisions by knowing what direction you're going. And so setting this as our direction, that our chief, that, you know, that our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I don't want to focus all on, you know, the glorifying God, because the enjoying him forever is really important. But yeah, I think it's a cool thing to consider.
Well, we should definitely do a podcast on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Okay.
I've given a lot of thought to that book. I think it's one of the best books on leadership.
It's like pretty good.
Everything I've read in other books, it seems like it's all back there. But I think even like, I'm not sure I've ever really framed this question for Evergreen, my church. And that is just to say, like, you know, oftentimes we think about specific smaller ends, you know, how do we help our kids, or how do we make our worship service most edifying? But how can we together glorify God the most in the place where he's put us? What I think is a question to take up. I think, let me add in terms of the enjoying God forever, if we say that glorifying God and enjoying him involve thoughtful reflection, then I think our choices of our activities and the things that we're involved in have to leave space for us to be able to do some of that thoughtful reflection. And so we actually may choose to do less because we are saying we need to have time to thoughtfully reflect. And that means saying no to some things and people that want us to say yes to them because we say, no, we need this time. I think that's really hard. There's so many obligations, so many things coming at us to say, like, I'm just going to take an hour and just seek to enjoy God and be outside, pray to him, seek him. It seems like, I don't know about you, but a lot of times if I'm just going to say, do that, I'm thinking like, I got 7 kids. I need to spend more time with all of them. You know, I've got a church of, you know, 150, 200 people, all who could probably use calls today. So I've got work to do, but to understand that a high priority and really what I give to all of them is rooted in me taking time, has got to determine how I structure my week, the choices I make, the places I go, the job I take, and so on.
And it's also enjoying God forever. Enjoying God now does not have to look like sitting, you know, sitting in your chair, reading your Bible necessarily, although that's good. And we want people to be doing that. But I'm just thinking about like going out to my garden. Like I got a great harvest this week from my garden.
Yay.
And I took so much joy in it. And I kept saying, look what I grew. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, I really did very little to make this happen, but just like, it was something that I partnered with God on, you know, like I was, you know, willing to plant the seeds and water it when I needed to, but God is really what made it grow. And that's just a way that I'm enjoying God now that I had before. The other thing that's neat about it is I think the quarantine has really given people a lot of opportunity to scale back those things. I've talked to quite a few people who have said, I was really feeling like I needed to cut some things out of my life, or just feeling too stressed, and I just wasn't really sure how to do that. And then everything's gone. And people were able to do that. And I think, you know, we're kind of looking forward and hoping that things will head back to normal at some point. But I hope that people take this time to be really intentional about making that space to enjoy God, and not filling up their calendars the way that we did before the COVID.
Filling up your calendars and filling up every minute with something going on, you know, just when you were talking about going out and working in your garden, you know, or if we go outside for a walk or go out and enjoy nature, a lot of times we have to have something going on in our head. We have to be listening to music, or we have to be listening to a podcast, which this one would be good to listen to, but
that's right.
And I think Satan knows that, you know, that just it's not the enjoying and glorifying God, but the scripture that says, be still and know that I am God, which I think goes along with that. And I think Satan knows that and gives us or throws distractions on us that we would deem as being good. Like if I was to go for a hike this afternoon, I might think it would be a good thing to listen to worship music, you know, in my AirPods as I'm walking. But that could just become actually a distraction that keeps me from really connecting with God. And when you're talking about the quarantine, you know, I think about, you know, I used to work in retail, and I think about what we've seen with stores closing at 5:30 or 7 or 8 o'clock, and how much more that gives people a chance to be with their family. And I'm not talking about just the employees, but just, you know, us as consumers, you know, you can't say, well, I'm going to run to the mall at 8 o'clock at night because it's closed. And I, for one, hope we don't go back to the old normal. I hope that we realize as a, you know, as a whatever society or as people that we don't need those things, and that being with family, spending time with God is more important to us, and we don't want to go back to that old rushed lifestyle as much.
We're going to have to be very deliberate if we're going to do that, because life, it just has a way of just like taking over. You know, it's not going to be like all at once, but like 2 months later, we'll find like, man, I'm doing exactly what I did before. So you got to have some sort of a plan, but also you can build those things into your daily life in ways that enable you to stop and pause. One of the things I spoke recently on Thanksgiving, because Nations for Christ, a ministry with whom we partner, does a Thanksgiving for their foreign students who come here for the summer in order to teach them about what are holidays, and they'll do some other ones too. So they asked me to speak on it. And so all these students were Russian. So I actually did some research on Russians and Thanksgiving, which I won't go into, but other than this one point, that Russians who celebrate Thanksgiving in America, their Thanksgiving meal is kind of like peppered with toasts. They stop and drink, and the point is not drinking necessarily. The point is that they are stopping to reflect on something. And I never thought of a toast that way, but it's kind of a neat idea, because then you are stopping and you're pausing and you're thinking about something you're thankful for, making a statement about something that's good. You're slowing down the meal. I have been to Thanksgiving meals where it's just like, it's like a trough and everybody's just eating. Nobody's talking. It's just kind of snorting, you know? And it's like, does this really get us to Thanksgiving? I don't think so. So I love that, that idea of what the Russians did is just like they pause throughout the meal to just reflect on something. So I think that we can do that. And a great example is like when you harvest something, you know, that you're, what you're saying is, here's a gift from the Lord, and just taking that and letting that bring you to the Lord. Oh, we have all sorts of good things like that that happen. Some really big, some really small, that help us to reflect on, that give us an opportunity to glorify and enjoy God. So whether it's harvesting a vegetable, which I also really enjoy that as well, and or getting a doctorate, you know, which was a 5-year process for me. I really wanted to make sure, like, I took that whole week and kind of just say, man, this is great to be able to, that the Lord has given me the ability to accomplish this, to study all these things, to learn all these things, to do all these papers, to finish this big final paper. And my church really helped with that, with a beautiful ceremony in the context of church. I was very thankful for that, because we didn't have our regular graduation, which is a sort of way of doing this. So.
Well, I think saying you're going to glorify God can be such an overwhelming task if you make it that. Like, you know, how in the world am I just this nothing human being going to glorify God? And you know, the answer to that is I can't. But if I take just the little thing, you know, if I glorify God and enjoy God, just like you said, in that accomplishment, although that was a big accomplishment for you, but just taking it in that moment, or with Lacey, just taking that harvest, just in that moment, what can you glorify God in just right now? Even with the church, when you said, what can we do as a church to glorify God? That's a big task, but what can we do to help our kids or our children, is a smaller, more manageable, but that also glorifies God. So yeah. Don't think of it in this big global term, just the little thing. And maybe that's why it was first. You know, we were asking, might have been before we did the show, why was that the first question in the shorter catechism or in the catechism? And maybe that's why, because just every little step that you do, every little thing that you do can or cannot, you know, bring glory to God. But thinking of it in that term.
And the neat thing that I noticed as we've talked about each of these things is usually you're including other people in that celebration. You know, I was so excited about this harvest. I ran and got my kids and I was like, look, and we cut up the cucumbers and ate them together. And we celebrated that, you know, Wes was able to celebrate. We celebrated with you, you know, your doctorate. Yes. And just, you know, whenever we are bringing glory to God, including other people in that, seems to be, and I'm even thinking about, you know, when the Russians are giving toasts and doing Thanksgiving, they're stopping together and reflecting on, you know, good things. So I think a huge part of glorifying God is including other people.
Yeah, sure. I think the heart of it, you know, as I see, you know, as I reflect on it here, and in terms of actually getting joy from God, I mean, first of all, it seems seeing goodness in our lives, letting that, you know, be taken in, not just passing it over, not like, I got these vegetables, I move on. You know, it's like stopping and reflecting. But then when we move beyond that and say, and God has created this world, filled it with plants, and he has enabled this plant, he's given me the increase of this plant and given me this good and delicious thing to joy, and he's filled with goodness. If we make that a habit, that is going to fill us with joy. And, you know, it's interesting. It's like some people, when you talk about, you know, enjoying God, they're like, oh, how can I enjoy God? I got so many bad things. That when we just take in the good and enjoy it and let that raise our heart to God and see his goodness, reflect on that, we don't have to downplay the hard things of life. Though I think on further reflection, we can also see how those bring us benefit too, but that's kind of another story. But we can actually just seeing more of what's good we can experience more joy without diminishing in any sense the things that are hard.
Mm-hmm. That's why remembering, like celebrating those things and also remembering the things that you have celebrated reminds you who God is and how he's been faithful to you, which is another way of enjoying him. You know, when you're facing those hard things and you remember, hey, you know, I've gone through hard things before and God was faithful and he provided and, you know, I am loved. Just remembering those things is a really important way to enjoy God.
Sure. Wes, we're going to give her the last word. That was good. How does that sound?
If I'm stuck, if I say something, then it's not the last word.
I got you on
you
that.
You trapped me.
Yeah, that was definitely entrapment. But we are glad that thanks, Lacey. Thanks, Wes. Thanks for everybody for listening. Those that are listening, we invite you to come to, if you don't already, come to church at Wes's church, at our church, Evergreen. You can check out the website, evergreentn.com. No.
That's it. Right. EvergreenTN.com.
EvergreenTN.com.
And TN then you is can in also, Tennessee.
Right. One word, EvergreenTN.com. And it'll
good
give you information.
Good old Rocky Top.
And also our Pinecone podcast sponsor, WesWhite.net. You can check out. I hope they can see your face. We got to put that one up. I got a screenshot.
See, yeah.
But really, you can. But really, you want to check out Wes's blog and listen to us again. Look for us on Pinecone Podcast. And
what about Art's blog?
Art has not got his blog up, but when he does, he will sponsor the Pinecone Podcast.
Okay,
good. The same financial contribution that Wes gives.
Yes.
Maybe double. Very good. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good day, Muriel. We appreciate you. And God bless everybody. Thanks. Mm-hmm.